I'd like our Ukraine veterans and our Ukraine hopefuls to stand. Those who have been and those who think they're going to get to go. Where's Bob? Oh, Bob is right there. How about you and Bob coming right here?
What a wonderful time of year. Don't you just want to stand up and sing, "I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas"? You better enjoy this. I don't know if there's any more coming.
But it's a wonderful, wonderful season because we get to focus on a word that has tremendous theological significance.
Oh, no, not one of those.
Well, I'll try to make it interesting. I can't help but think of my concluding weeks in the service of our country on active duty when we took our young sons and got in the car to tour the nation. 6 weeks. And so incarnation takes me to vacation. Thank you. Thank you. I worked on that one. But the incarnation of Christ, I mean, the whole deal is so incredibly amazing. When you come to grips with the concept that God came in flesh. That's what incarnation means, to come in flesh. You've learned something already. It's a good day. What does incarnation mean? There you are. And what did he come into? He came into darkness. Now, it's hard for us to imagine what it would be like to be in an atmosphere where there was no hope, there was no generosity, there was no goodwill toward men. There was just the condition of man without God. The Bible has some things to say about that. What would it be like if we lived in darkness? The world Jesus came into was not a happy place, and I will give you a thumbnail of its unhappiness. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And God was the Word. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness goes, "What is that?" Comprehended it not. The light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That was the true light which gave light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world. The world was made through him. The world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting them. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, they not only do those things, but they approve of those who practice them. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Their adultery and fornication and uncleanness and lewdness and idolatry and sorcery and hatred and contentions and jealousies and outbursts of wrath and selfish ambitions and dissensions and heresies and envy and murder and drunkenness and revelry and the like, which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Does this sound like a happy place? It gets worse. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They're presumptuous, self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of things they do not understand and will utterly perish in their own corruption and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you. Having eyes full of adultery, they cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. They've forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom it is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. The blackness of darkness. Isn't that a great phrase? How dark is the blackness of darkness? I can't see it. For whom the blackness of darkness is reserved forever. Ouch. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure those through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption, for by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord, knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, then the latter end is worse than the beginning, for it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it's happened to them according to the proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. What a lovely thought. And light came into this darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You cannot deal with the light of revelation through the power of reason. It does not work that way. The concept of the incarnation, God coming into flesh, he was not your typical PlayStation 2 or Xbox hero when he showed up. What was it that the incarnation accomplished? God had come into flesh as a child. The child had grown into a man, and the man was now dead. What did the coming into flesh accomplish? But Jesus said some interesting things about being here in the flesh. Listen to this. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now let me remind you, Bible students, that when you approach the scripture, you approach it from three perspectives. Its primary meaning, its practical application, and its prophetic inference. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now he is in a tomb. Where is the light of the world? Christ said that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. I have come as a light into the world. And whoever believes in me shall not abide in what? As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I have come into the world as light so that those who believe in me will not be in darkness. So if I believe in him, I'm not going to be in darkness. Because of why? Oh, God, don't make us think, Pastor. Tell us! You bunch of spoon-feds. How can trusting in Jesus keep me out of darkness and in the light? As a child, my grandmother watched a religious show. As a child, not having the power, I watched the religious show. I don't remember anything about the show except the refrain when it came on and when it ended. And that refrain got in me. It rooted around in my imagination so that in the dark I would imagine what it might be like if that refrain were true. The only part of the whole thing I remember is this phrase. If everyone lit one little candle, what a bright world this would be. Now, when a child's imagination takes that and begins to play with it, it goes all kinds of places. But as it turns out, that's exactly what Jesus was up to. As long as I am in the world, as long as I am in the world, as long as I am in the world, then as long as he is in the world, then I Philippians 2, verse 14 and 15. Take a look at it. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine like stars or lights in the world. As long as I am in the world. Is Jesus still in the world? Where is he? Are you a light that shines in darkness? Are you? Now, what does a light have to do to shine?
Nothing.
Do you shine? On your worst day, are you a light? Absolutely. How do you know?
Because God said so.
Yeah, that's true. But let me tell you a little story. I have a friend who works in a certain office, and, you know, it's one of those places where other people have access to you all the time. And so she's on the telephone with one of her children, and they're discussing a relational issue in the young child's life. And mommy is trying to communicate to the child what the child should do in response to this conflict. And the mother says to her, now, what do you think you should do?
I'm going to say I'm sorry.
You know, when I go to church, when I meet with the church at the building where the church meets, boy, will we ever get over this cultural thing? I expect to see Jesus. I expect the Lord to do God stuff. Amen? Who needs something from the Lord? Well, then come to the altar and get it. You too. You can come. Child, who needs something from the Lord? Come get it. It's Christmas. Don't you think the Father gives away Christmas gifts? Do I have any superheroes here in the Spirit of God? You know, those who can move in the gifts of the Spirit. Look at me like you just got in off the bus. We haven't been doing this for decades. You got something to say?
I do, and it has to do with the joy of the Lord.
Oh, good.
And there's also a couple of words for healing.
Well, y'all listen. Let me see that. On.
We get very adept and we get very good at going and with spiritual battle of taking up the sword, the Word of God, making proclamations about the Word of God, standing on the Word, living out the Word, having the Word as our measurement. But there's another piece when we're doing spiritual battle. There's another piece to this when we are causing change into our world. And that's the joy of the Lord. And so often, we as His people begin to walk through life, and because life is not easy, we cling to the Word, but we forget the person of the Word. That heartbeat, that joy, reflecting on who He is, appreciating who He is, taking throughout the day a moment to turn aside and be joyful that you know the person of Jesus, because He's so wonderful to be with, because He's your source of strength, because He's your refuge, because He's your companion and your counselor. The joy of the Lord is a key element. And the Lord wants to remind us that it's not just the sword that makes an impact. It's the joy of God that you're stirring up within you as you meditate on Him, as you appreciate Him, as you praise Him. You take the joy that's with you, in you, and you combine it with the sword of God, and then you go forth. And then you know what? You're not being swayed by the things in this world. And when the wind comes against you, and when the storm comes, you stand and you speak peace. Because you have met and known the King of Kings. And His joy is in you. And His light goes forth in you. And you bring change to your world and to the people around you. As you speak forth the Word, knowing the person of the Word. Let me give you some scriptures. May I?
Please, Jesus.
Now, I have taken some of these scriptures, and I'm not going to read the entirety of these scriptures. So those teachers that are out there, you see me skip a few words here and there? I'm bringing the gist of what's there, okay? Psalms 148:6. May the praise of God be in their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hands. to inflict vengeance, punishment, to bind their kings with fetters. May the praise of God, may the joy of God as you ruminate there and live there, and the double-edged sword, the Word of God, go forth from you. If you want to bind up those that are impacting your life, whether it's sickness or financial problems or relationship problems, if those are the kings that are marching into your life, you take up the sword and praise. Jeremiah 31. I'm going to be looking at verses 7 and 11. Sing with joy for Jacob. Shout. Make your praises heard and say, O Lord, save your people. Combine your joy and praise with your prayer. Do you realize that all authority has been given to Jesus in heaven and earth? All authority. And that He promises to be with us at all times? So the person who has ultimate authority is with you always. It's from that standpoint that you walk into intercession. Not as someone who's depraved, who's begging for the Lord to act on your behalf. Look what happens when they come forth with praise and prayer. For the Lord will ransom Jacob and redeem them from the hand of those stronger than they. They will come out and shout for joy, and they will rejoice in the bounty of the Lord. And that's how it's supposed to work. We are supposed to be the victorious in this world. We are supposed to be the ones that are stepping forth and bringing forth change, because the one that we serve, who has all authority, His authority transforms everything on this earth. And that's what we walk in. So we can bring change. The Lord instructs us in 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Be joyful always. Pray continuously. Take up the sword, and in those things, knowing that the person who has all authority is within you, then go forth and you bring change to your own life. Then you go forth and you bind the kings that are coming into your life. Then go forth and you look for the bounty that the Lord is going to deliver you out, whether it's healing that you need, or whether it's that you need joy in your life because you're struggling with depression, or it's finances, whatever it is. You want to bring those kings down? You find the face of the Lord and you stick your face right there and you ruminate on the joy of what it's like to love Him and know Him and appreciate Him. Then you pick up the word and you go forth and you create change, because the God who has all authority is in you and He goes forth. We have some words of healing, too. And I tell you what, if you need healing, by gosh, today's the day, get up here. Someone needed healing on the right side of their hip joint, and a person who needs healing for their ovaries. Okay?
Come to you, the rest of us, let's stand together. Let's get some of our prayers up here for these prayees. In the spirit of generosity, I'm going to dismiss you to the missionettes table. You go be the light of the world this week. Recognize it's in you.
others will respond to it. Have an answer ready when any man asks you for the hope that's within you. And this is that season of hope. Lord, we bless you for Jesus Christ, come in the flesh, and for